This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How your comfort with silence reflects your inner emotional life. What the pauses you fear reveal about your self-awareness. In short, your ease with silence is one of the clearest signals of your emotional self-awareness. People who are well acquainted with their inner world sit quietly without distress. People who are not tend to feel an urgent pull toward noise, activity, or conversation the moment stillness arrives. Silence removes distraction and leaves you facing your own internal state. Discomfort in quiet moments often points to unprocessed emotion, not introversion or personality. Building tolerance for silence is a practical way to deepen self-knowledge. Definition: emotional self-awareness is the capacity to notice, name, and understand your own feelings as they arise. It means recognizing not just what you feel, but why, and how those feelings are influencing your thinking and behavior in real time. Most people think of silence as simply the absence of noise. After decades of watching people in high-pressure conversations, difficult meetings, and the quieter moments between them, I have come to understand it as something more revealing than that. Silence is a mirror, and what you do when you see your reflection tells you a great deal about your emotional self-awareness and about how well you truly know yourself. The pattern I keep seeing is consistent. People who are comfortable with stillness tend to know themselves. People who cannot bear a quiet moment tend to be running from something they have not yet had the courage to face. That is not a moral judgment. It is an observation about the relationship between inner clarity and outer behavior. By the end of this article, you will understand why that relationship exists, what it looks like in practice, and what you can do to change your side of it. Why silence makes your emotional state visible. Noise is the great concealer. When you're busy, talking, scrolling, or listening to something, your attention flows outward. You do not have to feel what is moving through you internally, because there is always something external to redirect toward. Silence strips that away. It leaves you in direct contact with your own internal state, the unfinished anxiety from a difficult meeting, the quiet resentment you've not named yet, the low hum of sadness you've been too busy to acknowledge. For people with strong emotional self-awareness, this is not threatening. It is just information. For people without it, the stillness feels urgent and uncomfortable, almost like a physical pressure that demands relief. This is why the reflex to fill silence is worth paying attention to. It is not always social habit or cultural norm. Sometimes it is the nervous system steering you away from something it has learned to avoid. The question is, what is it steering you away from? The inner mechanics of sitting still. Here is the truth of it. Emotional self-awareness is not a personality trait. It is a skill. And like any skill, it has to be practiced. When you sit in silence, your brain does not go quiet. It becomes more active in a particular way, turning inward toward the kind of processing that noise normally interrupts. Feelings that were below the surface begin to rise. Thoughts that were drowned out by distraction become audible. This is exactly what introspection requires. But if you have never built the habit of observing your own emotional landscape without immediately reacting to it, this rising tide of inner material feels overwhelming rather than useful. The people who struggle most with silence are often the same people who describe themselves as reactive in difficult conversations, or who find that they say things under pressure they later regret. This is not coincidence. The capacity to sit with discomfort in silence and the capacity to stay grounded when a tense workplace conversation escalates draw on the same internal muscle. If one is underdeveloped, the other will be too. The mechanism is straightforward. Sitting quietly trains you to notice an emotional state without being consumed by it. You feel the discomfort, you observe it, and you do not act on it immediately. Repeat that enough times, and you begin to do the same thing in conversation. You feel the flicker of defensiveness or irritation. You notice it before it controls you, and you choose your response instead of defaulting to your reflex. What this looks like in real life. Consider a person who cannot sit on a commute without headphones. The moment the train or bus goes quiet, the phone comes out. This is not always about entertainment. Often it is about avoiding the particular quality of attention that silence demands. Ask that same person how they handle a pause in a difficult conversation, and you will frequently find they rush to fill it, often with words they later wish they had held back. Or think about the leader who talks constantly in meetings, who never quite leaves a silence for others to fill. On the surface, this looks like confidence or energy. Underneath, it is often a sign that the person is uncomfortable with not being in motion, not being heard, not having something to occupy the space between thoughts. The relationship with external silence reflects the relationship with internal stillness. I have also watched the reverse with interest. The strongest communicators I have known over 60 years tend to be people who are entirely comfortable with the pause. They do not rush to reassure, to explain, or to smooth things over. They can hold still, and that stillness comes directly from their capacity to be with their own emotional state without needing to manage it by managing the room. This same self-possession shapes how people give and receive feedback. When you are genuinely comfortable with your own emotional reactions, you can hear a difficult observation without your defenses immediately slamming shut. Understanding why the confidence competence loop affects feedback quality makes more sense once you see that self-awareness sits underneath the whole thing. Why so few people make this connection? Most people, when they think about self-awareness, think about personality assessments, reflective journals, or therapy. Silence does not appear on that list. It feels too simple, too passive, too much like doing nothing. That is precisely why it gets overlooked. We have a deep cultural bias toward action. If you are not doing something deliberate and visible, it does not feel like growth. Sitting quietly with your own discomfort feels like wasted time, not like the serious inner work it actually is. There is also a more personal reason the connection gets missed. Recognizing that your discomfort with silence points to unprocessed emotion requires a kind of honesty that is genuinely uncomfortable. It is easier to believe you simply prefer noise, or that silence is for introverts, or that staying busy is just who you are. Those explanations let you keep moving without looking inward. The same avoidance pattern shows up in high-pressure moments at work. When someone receives feedback that triggers a defensive reaction, the impulse is often to speak immediately, to correct, to justify. Understanding how to stay calm when feedback triggers defensiveness depends on first understanding that the urge to fill the silence is the defensive reaction, not just a prelude to it. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What happens when the amygdala enters the picture? There is a reason this is not just a matter of willpower or intention. When silence forces unprocessed emotion to the surface, the brain can register this as a threat. The same alarm system that fires in a heated argument can fire in an empty, quiet room, simply because the emotional material surfacing feels dangerous. This is the amygdala's job to protect you from threat, whether the threat is external or internal. Understanding what the amygdala hijack actually does in high-pressure moments explains a great deal about why some people are constitutionally unable to sit still when their emotional life is in disarray. The brain is not malfunctioning. It is doing what it was designed to do. The problem is that treating inner discomfort as a survival threat keeps you from ever developing the capacity to work with it. Building emotional self-awareness is, in part, the process of teaching your nervous system that the feeling is not the danger, that he can notice fear, anger, sadness, or shame without being destroyed by it. Silence is the training ground for that lesson. When entire teams share this pattern, the consequences multiply quickly. Reactive conversations, meetings that produce more heat than clarity, relationships where nothing difficult ever gets said, these are the downstream effects of collective self-awareness gaps. The signs of amygdala hijack spreading through team dynamics are worth knowing, but the root cause almost always traces back to individuals who have never learned to be quiet with themselves. Building the capacity you actually need. The practical implication here is direct. If you want to develop your emotional self-awareness, you need to practice being still. This does not mean hours of meditation or any particular practice you have to believe in. It means beginning to sit quietly, without a screen or a task, for 5 minutes a day. Not to empty your mind, not to solve anything, simply to notice what is present. What feelings surface, what thoughts arrive, and what your impulse is when the discomfort comes. You are not trying to fix what you find. You're trying to build the skill of observation. The ability to say, with some clarity, I am feeling anxious right now, and I think it is connected to the conversation I avoided yesterday, is a form of strength. It gives you a choice about what to do next. Without that observation, the anxiety simply runs in the background, shaping your behavior without your awareness or consent. This skill connects directly to how you show up when tension rises. Leaders who develop a stronger voice faster tend to share one quality they trust their own read on a situation because they have done the work of knowing their own reactions. That trust begins in silence. And managers who handle workplace tension more effectively have usually spent enough time with their own discomfort that they are not startled or overwhelmed by it in others. The question worth sitting with. Silence is not an achievement. It is a condition. What you discover about yourself within it, and what you do with those discoveries, is where the real work lies. If you avoid quiet moments, I'm not asking you to become someone who loves solitude. I'm asking you to notice the avoidance itself, and to get curious about what it is protecting you from. That curiosity is the beginning of genuine emotional self-awareness. And emotional self-awareness, once developed, changes not just how you feel about silence, but how you show up in every conversation that matters. The pauses you once dreaded become the moments you can finally trust yourself in. Frequently asked questions. What is emotional self-awareness? Emotional self-awareness is the ability to notice, name, and understand your own feelings in real time. It means knowing not just what you feel, but why you feel it, and how those feelings are shaping your words, decisions, and behavior in any given moment. How does silence relate to emotional self-awareness? Silence removes external distraction and leaves you alone with your internal state. People with strong emotional self-awareness can sit with that without discomfort. People who lack it often feel a strong urge to fill quiet moments because stillness forces them to face feelings they have not yet learned to process. Why do some people feel anxious in silence? Anxiety in silence usually signals unprocessed emotion. When there is no noise or activity to focus on, unresolved feelings surface. People who have not developed the habit of introspection find this threatening rather than useful, and their nervous system responds by pushing them toward distraction or conversation. Can you improve your emotional self-awareness through silence? Yes, and it is one of the most direct routes available. Sitting quietly for even 5 minutes each day without a screen or task trains you to notice your internal state. Over time, you build the capacity to observe your own feelings without immediately reacting to them, which is the foundation of emotional maturity. How does poor emotional self-awareness affect workplace communication? When you cannot read your own emotional state accurately, you misread others and respond to situations driven by feeling rather than intention. Defensiveness, over-explaining, and emotional reactivity in conversations all trace back to low self-awareness. Improving it changes how you listen, how you give feedback, and how you manage conflict. What is the link between self-awareness and emotional regulation? Self-awareness comes first. You cannot regulate an emotion you have not noticed. Once you can identify what you are feeling and where it came from, you gain a moment of choice before you react. That gap between stimulus and response is where emotional regulation actually lies. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.